Okay, the title of this is "The Our Disparity of Life with a Question Mark." And what we're going to be talking about is why we see Christians struggling in different areas and people in the world are doing fine. And why is that? And sometimes it's a disparity, but to us as believers, there is an answer, and it's not left as a disparity. So if you have your taking notes, write down John 16:33. John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Remember, we talked about peace a few weeks ago, and it's his peace. And in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So in this life, there's going to be tough times. Can you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. To many, these are comforting words, as they should be to the believer in Jesus Christ. But what Jesus is saying here goes further than just mere encouragement. He was telling of a reality of things that would come our way. He said in John 15:18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So right there, as a Christian receiving Jesus Christ, in the natural, and I say natural, there's a strike against you. But in the supernatural, we're always victorious. It is the wicked in the world that will hate and despise you. The wicked are the unbelievers, the Christ haters, the church haters, those that hate the Bible, those that hate God, those that hate any representation of godliness and of God. And we know the world is controlled by the prince and the power of the air. And so many people that, you know, we see the chaos that's going on these days, you really have to feel sorry for these people. Hang on, I got another one to admit. You really have to feel sorry for them because they are controlled by a bad spirit and they don't understand it. They don't understand that there's an antichrist spirit out there. They don't understand that the emotionalism, and it's all just Satan's handiwork causing them to destroy. Like Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's doing a good job of it through his people. So why is it that the wicked, being against God, prosper? There are a lot of evil people out there that seem to be doing well. And so we must understand that is something that happens in our world. That's the way things are. And I want to share scriptures that bear that out so that you can understand. And also, it can bring clarity to you as to what we're about and what this life is about. I'm going to start with Matthew 5:43. Matthew 5:43-45. This is Jesus speaking. "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun, S-U-N, to shine or to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." And it's proven a point here that God is not just a flat out punisher. You do wrong, even if you're an evil person, an unbeliever, if you do wrong, God isn't waiting there to punish you. All right? The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. And the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is good to all. In fact, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 2. I don't know, it's there in the first three verses. It says, don't you know that it's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance? God is a good God. He does good things. It's been said for over as long as I've been in the ministry, God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. So just understand that. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any would perish. He cares about everyone. He cares about life. He cares about the wicked people, the believers. He cares about life, and he's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance, the knowledge of him. To the believer, this may seem unfair. But remember, we've talked about this very much in detail, that God doesn't deal in fairness, but in righteousness according to his word. His word tells us if you do this and this and this, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. It's flat out. You know, God gave the word. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Honey, I want to have you come over here and say hi to everybody.
Oh, well, you were right in the middle. Well, so.
I know we started off like a horse race, but my wife is here, my beautiful wife, my soulmate, love of my life. I want to have her say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
There we go. We got this little screen here. We might have to invest in it. Hello. Remember, God, he doesn't deal in the realm of fairness. He deals in righteousness. He's a just God. He always will be. So let's look at some scriptures that talk about this disparity. Jeremiah 12:1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper? So Jeremiah is saying, God, I want to talk to you about your ways. Okay, God? He says, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Okay, we got people out there that are evil, they're treacherous, they're stealers, they're thieves, they don't care, they're robbers, they're out there hurting people. And why are they happy? Why are you allowing them to be happy? Jeremiah's seen this way back. Psalms 73:1-7. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about, as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. So, you know, so it's basically a comparison. The other men could be the children of Israel, godly people who are struggling, and then these other evil people are prospering in their way. Why is that? And it's a disparity. Psalms 37. We'll start at verse 1. A psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the worker of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Remember, we did a whole series on rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So when you see people doing wrong and getting away with it, don't consider, well, if they're getting away with it, maybe I'll get away with it. Don't even consider that. Don't consider the way of the evil person. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. If you're trusting God, if you're waiting on God for an answer, the way that, and there's an area that there's a struggle, I've always said, the way things are today are not necessarily the way they'll be tomorrow. Our hope has to be in him. Our trust has to be in him, in his word. So let's look at the end of the wicked. Psalms 37, 35, starting there. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, or the complete, the mature man. Mark that man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Remember, you know, people who are living in sin, people who are doing unrighteous things, and even Christians that aren't following the way they should, every one of us has to lay down at night, put your head on a pillow, and deal with your own conscience. Every one of us. And so, but the upright person, he will be, it says that he'll have peace, an abundance of peace. Isn't that what we want? Yeah. Okay, let's go on. But the transgressor shall be destroyed altogether, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. I am so thankful that I don't have to try and make it on my own. I don't have to try and figure it all out, because there is a God that holds my hand, and he holds your hand as well, who will bring you through whatever. Anybody been through some tough times? We all have. But the thing is we're still here. We're still going forward. We're still learning, and we're still praising God. Glory to his name. Here's a scripture, Job 20, verse 4. Knowest thou not this of old? Since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is for a moment. Verse 6. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own dung. those are his words, not mine. They which have seen him will say, where is he? You know, where's that big shot? Where's that guy that was loud? You know, my mind goes to somebody like George Soros. We need to pray for his salvation. Otherwise, he's going to be one of these. Listen to Psalms 52, beginning at verse 5. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Did you catch that? Should I read that again? This is talking about a wicked person. That God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. Verse 6, Psalms 52. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. So there's an end to these people. And if they're, unless they have a bedside of salvation, you know, the end is not going to be pretty. And they will be judged according to the things that they did. So therefore, don't fret yourself, like David said, because of him that prospers in his way. God's going to deal with him. But God is patient, as we read, long-suffering, not willing that any would perish. So he gives everybody opportunity. He gives everybody a chance. And he's hoping that they'll come to reason. They'll come to see that, you know what, my way isn't working. I'm tired of having this conscience that I can't live with. So that's what we pray for these people. But for the believer, we are in a different spiritual climate. I want to pause right here. Anybody have any questions or anything or comments? No? It's pretty quiet out there. Okay. The believer, for us, we are in a different spiritual climate, all right? And let me, basically, the believer or the unbeliever is already ensnared by the enemy. They're chained, they're in bondage, you know, and Satan is the Lord of their life, regardless of whether they know it or not, like it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Like we all went according to the course of this world that was in charge. The prince and the power of the air was in charge of it. But thank God who had mercy on us and he saved us by his grace. We were all in that way at one time. Thanks be to God. But so the unbeliever is snared, chained, and in bondage to their master. But for us who are set free, it's a different spiritual climate. We've gone over many times the parable of the seed and the sower. Basically, the enemy does not like what is in us, which is the word. The enemy does not like the representation of God. He hates anything that represents God, and he's a murderer, and he just assumed kill any human being because they're all made in God's image, including us. So we're in a different spiritual climate. So why does the Christian seem to be having problems? Well, the Bible tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that we can withstand the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the enemy, now he's mounting an attack against us. And if we don't grasp a hold of the word that's been given to help us, we'll be forever struggling. We'll be forever dealing with condemnation. We'll be forever dealing with depressing thoughts. But thanks be to God, we have victory through Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of him, as we talked about last week, through Jesus Christ, his word. We have an answer. So we're to put on the whole armor. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God gives permission, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The enemy, the Bible tells us, is as a roaring lion out there seeking whom he may devour. And that is written to Christians. It's not written to unbelievers. The devil wants to deceive you. We'll discuss that later. He wants to trip you. He wants to condemn you. He wants to harm you. He wants to knock you out of the race. And he gets no more pleasure, greater pleasure, than seeing Christians fall for his deceptions. So therefore, that's why we teach like we do. We use the word. We teach the word. We teach the ways of God, because the more that we learn the ways of God, the more that we'll recognize the ways of the enemy, because they don't jive at all. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now this is talking about, there was a man in the Corinthian church who was having a illicit affair with his father's mother. And that was condemned. And what they had to do to this man, he wouldn't repent. So they disassociated him, or they shunned him, turned him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. They didn't pray for him. They just shunned him. And that worked. And then when you read in 2 Corinthians 10, it shows that this man repented. And it says to cover him with your love so he doesn't get too overtaken with grief. But he said that the bottom verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So he's got things out there, plans and traps and snares that are trying to hinder you. And are we really getting close? We got 10 minutes left. I said that this is probably going to be two parts. Let me go through another scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians 11. This is Paul writing to the church. Are you still there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My phone did, or my computer did something funky. All right. 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Apostle Paul's writing, "But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or through his tricks, through his wiles, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The enemy will try and complicate things. The enemy will try to make things that seem unattainable, but it's not. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He wants to knock you out of the race and to cause you to look at other ways, cause you to get disappointed, cause you to be in fear and condemnation. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." One more scripture, Ephesians 4:11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's our goal. That's our target. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Our goal and purpose is to help mature you in the faith, in Christ, to give you solid doctrines by where you will be stable, solid doctrines by where you can stand and what you believe will work for you. But it's in the faith, it's through the knowledge of Him. So therefore, at all times, you know, we must be in the Word, we must be studying the Word, we must be acknowledging that the Word is in our life. Through all of this, we must grow in faith in the pure Word of God, because the things that are against us have been offset by God's pure Word. So the Christian has the enemy trying to dog him. The enemy doesn't, or I should say the wicked people, the unbelievers don't. So there's a struggle there for us. We all have had condemnation. We have all had fear and anxiety at one time or another. But the answer is God's Word, the renewing of the mind. That's what we've been teaching over and over and over again. That God's Word, that you grow in faith through the Word of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, we could go on and on and on with scriptures, but it's important that we understand that the unbeliever, they don't have the enemy dogging them. They're already living in their snare, in the hole that they've dug. But for the believer, we've been forgiven. Amen. The past is the past. We're new creatures in Christ. And the only weapon that the enemy has against you is the past. And there's no future in the past. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then he goes on to say, and all things are of God. So therefore, we must take the Word of God to heart in every aspect of our life. We have to understand, I know we're going to be closing on time here, but I've got more. We've got a whole nother session to do, and I'm believing that we'll be able to do this together as we meet next Wednesday, and I'll let you know for sure about meeting over at Gethsemane. Pass the word around. Once I get the word, pass it around. And this is recorded, so anybody that would like to have this recording, I'll send it to you. Let's pray, because we'll be running out of time here real quick. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. It feeds us. It teaches us. It encourages us. Lord, it gives us life because you are our life. And we bless you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I think we got like 2 minutes. So be praying for Apostle Milton in Uganda. He's headed for Algeria in the next couple of days. And so we're real excited. Algeria is like 90% Muslim. So, and it's unique that God has opened up to us the Muslim countries. And so just thank God for what he's doing. We're in the North Africa, a lot of countries covering the east to the west. And so we're just believing that God is going to do some great and mighty things. And Milton has been praying. He's been fasting. He's prepared to go. So we're anxious to get some reports as to what happens there. We also have an invitation to South Africa. I'm waiting to hear from that pastor, and we're going to talk. And so, man, that's way down at the south tip of Africa. So we're up the north. Algeria is one of the northernmost countries in and then we're down to the south. So, boy, God is opening some really cool doors. So we're just thankful. Guys, I love you immensely. You guys are so special to Karen and myself. And we just thank God for you. We pray for you. Continue to pray for us. It's good to see all of you here on the screen. And if you would like a copy of this, I'll be happy to send it to you. I'm recording it, and I'm stopping the recording as we speak right now.